there, this is Esther Lindis from the CTP.
Hello, this is Banner from the CTP team.
Hi, this is Mask from CTP team, and you are listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast. My name is Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And I am Skunk Keen, a.k.a. Halloween Foxy. Yes, I'm really a guy, and I've had you all fooled for a very long time.
The joke is on you.
Yep.
Yep. You should know it.
Yep, I broke everyone's heart.
I'm sure you did. And you're probably still going to continue to break hearts.
Yep, I just need a new cute name handle. I'm thinking of Cherry.
Cherry? 2000 yeah. or 2001?
I don't know, something, whatever's in that ongoing story.
Yeah, I think it's Cherry 2000.
Yeah, I'm going to start emailing Trey.
he'll love that. So, not a lot of news going on. Have you been doing anything exciting lately? Any scheduled games or DMs or anything?
I didn't have anybody show up for my recent DMFI class, so... No, pretty everybody's enjoying the summer. New Storms Is Here videos on the vault.
Yes, it is. I watched that the other night. Looks pretty slick.
Yep, a good 10-minute video, Gen Con info, and there's also a 3-minute trailer.
Yeah, I really like the way after you create all your companions, which is that's a whole cool system in itself there, but when you're actually talking to an NPC, you can select which companion, you can select which companion you want to use to talk to them with. So if one of them has a better skill that would help you, like diplomacy, and has a higher diplomacy, you can switch to them and they can take over the conversation. So you have a better chance of success. So I thought that was really cool.
Yes, it's really quite wicked. I'm looking forward to the Overland map myself. That looks amazing.
Yeah, that had a feel of other games that I've played in the past. But yeah, it's still a very interesting aspect to it. So it brings the travel back to it, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh, yes.
Because some of the Neverwinter Nights 1 modules we used to play, you know, you'd walk forever and transition about 3 different places before you'd ever get to where you're supposed to get to. But all kinds of interesting things would happen along the way.
Well, I like it because, you know, if you're setting a story within a big world, you know, it's just a lot of building. You don't want to end up building the whole, you know, forest, you know, that goes for, you know, miles and miles worth in the storyline of your adventure.
Oh, especially if you're doing, like, epic campaign quest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be, it'd be really good for that, I think.
Yes. Good for campaigns.
Hey.
Speaking of.
Exactly. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Neverwinter Nights Campaigns website sports a new feature that lets you browse its members for players seeking DMs and DMs seeking players for campaign adventures. So check that out at nwncampaigns.com, folks.
Yeah, that was wound up being a fortuitous segue there. I didn't really plan that, but that worked out great. That's a neat little site over there. They got some good features on there. I'm glad to see that they've added this one as well, so I know the community will take advantage of it.
Yes, already is. Oh, before you folks get involved in other plans for September, before you know, soon it will be International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr, that it be, laddie. That it be.
You could go ahead and let the folks know at their website for talklikeapirate.com that you are going to celebrate Pirate Day over Neverwinter Nights, and you could email them the information to your website and how you are going to celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day for your PW or, you know, any kind of online gathering to role play as pirates. Also, folks, put it on your calendar, NWCCon 4, for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on September 26th, 27th, and 28th. Check it out. The link in our show notes. Mark it on your calendars. Call in sick to work and tell them your swimming pool's on fire. Or tell them something sad, like you discovered your dog has AIDS. You need time off.
Oh, sorry, I'm putting it on my calendar.
Oh, that's good. You gonna lie to your work to get the time off?
Oh, no, I just tell them I have something I need to go do.
Yeah.
26th, 27th, 28th. Here we go. Almost done.
We have a pretty long round table here tonight, folks. We have a round table with CTP, the Community Tile Set Project.
That was an awesome interview. I really appreciate you letting me sit in on that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Y'all are going to really love Estelindis. Estelicious.
Estelicious.
Yep. We got Mask and Banner.
Yep. So that was a great interview. And it gets me excited when you see, you know, how excited other people in the community are about what they do. Tile sets, to some people that play the game all the time, I think, it's not that big of a deal. It adds a lot of atmosphere to the module that you're playing, and these guys are passionate about tile sets.
Yeah, I think tile sets are the number one priority to the area building.
It was, especially Neverwinter Nights 1.
Oh, yes. Well, Neverwinter Nights 2 needs some more tile sets also.
Agreed. But yeah, it's a incredible art that what they've done, and every module maker out there is probably drooling, wanting to get their hands on this next release.
Especially the insights that they hint in this interview, too.
Oh, my kidding. You're not kidding. They were just...
Well, folks, with no further ado, CTP. Hello, everybody. Today we have here with us CTP, the Community Tile Set Project.
This is Mask, a.k.a. Douglas B. Hart.
This is Estelindis, a.k.a. Siobhan. That's my real name.
Estelicious.
Yes.
That's cute.
All right.
That's gonna stick.
Let's see what happens.
That nickname is going to stick, trust me.
That's delicious.
Yeah.
But it's gonna stick. Maybe they'll stop calling me Skunkalicious and start calling her the Estelicious.
Delicious.
Right. Well, with all due respect to your esteemed nickname, deliciousness and skunks aren't perhaps the most natural combination.
Well, why not?
Well, you know, I assume skunks don't want to be considered delicious. They'd rather not be considered any kind of eaten or, at all, would they? They can only be...
Hello.
Hello there, Banner. This is Skunk.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Wow, so this is what you sound like. So incredible.
Yeah.
Would you all tell me what the history of the Community Tile Set Project is, please?
CTP originally started out shortly after CEP, I believe, based on pretty much the same idea to gather up a custom collection of content, make it play nice, make it compatible, upgrade the quality where needed, and get it out to the players and the builders.
Banner's input would most be desired on, you know, he would be a lot more aware of the history of it than I would, since I only joined last year. But that's, I mean, really, his input on any particular question would be perfectly fine, since he's pretty much, you know, in charge of the whole project and seems to dabble in everything, you know. I started off just tweaking textures, but Banner seems to have a hand in every CTP pie.
He slices, he dices, he even does the laundry!
But wait, there's more.
Got a pretty good history there of where we started. CTP was, it's a pretty old team at this point. I think I'm pretty much the oldest member, not including Christopher, who unfortunately was not able to meet with us today.
He had a wedding.
Yeah. Well, we've got a pretty long history here. They started as a group on the BioWare forums. And there were some history there where the team ended up losing our access to that
forum.
What did they call it? Yeah, that forum, that group of
BioWare Guild. So
that's what I'm looking for, the BioWare Guild. The team fell apart at that point. Banshee tried to bring us back together, and he did. We had a whole bunch of people that joined up to help test. We only had a few people that were able to actually help fix tiles at that point in time. Over time, those people faded away as well, and it looked like the team was going to just flat die, and I just couldn't stand for that to happen. I was not going to allow the community tile set project to just fade away. There was just too much work that had already been done. Too many people had put forth time and effort to try to keep the tile sets coming. So I decided that, you know, we were going to continue to work regardless, and we did. We eventually were able to get the tile set. So we released Tile Set Pack 1 to, you know, quite a bit of fanfare. I think a lot of people were pleased with what we did get out the door at that point in time. We had a few bugs that were still remaining in the sets. Most of those have been squashed and killed and otherwise sent their merry way. Since that point in time, the team almost died a second time. In fact, it had died. I had posted on the forums and elsewhere that we were shutting down. I was the only one left. And at that point in my life, I was not able to do enough repairs to tiles to warrant even trying to keep going. Since that point in time, Mask jumped all over me, got a whole bunch of people to join up.
Work, Banner, work!
Yeah. Estelindis joined us, along with Dragonessa and a couple other people that had enough energy to reawaken, I guess, the team. And so we decided that we'd keep going. And since that point in time, we've done quite a bit of work. I've learned more about how to fix tiles. Estelindis has taught me a little bit about texturing, although she's way better than me as far as that's concerned.
Well, gee, Banner, I mean, the things you've taught me about tiles, I didn't even know how to open a tile in GMAX or anything like that before you gave me some pointers. And now I'm at least beginning to be able to fix bugs like those. So, I mean, as I said to in another interview I did a while ago, being in a team is great because any of the gaps in your knowledge you can pick up from somebody else and you can re-offer each other encouragement and give a bit of energy, you know, when we're all flagging or when things are tough going. It's good times.
Can you tell us more about the CTP team, please?
Well, the CTP team has gone through quite a number of iterations over the years. I've only joined in the past year. If one looks back at the BioWare showcase on this subject, you'll see people like Banshee, you'll see people like Maxam, etc. involved. At the moment, people like, say, Banner Bloodfist, our good friend Mask, who we're talking to now, Old Man's Beard, Dragonessa, Christopher, are involved. There's so many other people involved as testers. It's probably difficult to go into the whole thing. But we are united by our love of bugless tile sets.
Awesome. Yes.
It is pretty awesome once it gets achieved. It's a long and winding road, as the Beatles might say.
Well, how many submissions on the vault is there for CTP?
Presently, there are 3 separate entries on the vault. One for the original release of 10 tile sets and 1 reskin. Additionally, there's a release that came out before that, in fact, which was a package of generic doors put together mostly by Old Man's Beard. And for a brief while, it looked like CTP was going to close up, so Banner took the sets we had most complete at that point, packaged them up, and put them on the vault as a beta release, because the quality is not up to snuff.
All right.
However, the stuff that's gone up in the beta release, we're still working on it at the moment, and that will be a small part of our eventual final release too, which will contain 10 telesets.
Okay, when you say final, is there going to be just only one more release and y'all are stopping it, or you're going to still keep doing more and more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We just mean final in terms of this will be the final version of release 2. Obviously, there will be any necessary updates subsequently if we have bugs found by the wider community. But after that, I guess it's on to release 3. I mean, we definitely have more than 10 tile sets which are waiting for us to give them some caring attention.
Ooh.
But it's good not to bite off more than one can chew when it comes to this sort of work. I mean, even working on one tile set's a fairly huge endeavor, as we've all discovered.
Yeah. Well, there's already a lot of collections of tile sets already on the vault. What is the process of enhancing these to make them different than the majority of the other combo packs out there?
Mask, do you want to take this, or will I go with it?
Ooh, I was going to toss that to you and talk about your slave post for a minute.
Oh, fair enough. I guess I'll go ahead with that. Basically, the impression I get from... Let me make sure that I understand you correctly. When you talk about tileset combos, I presume that you are referring to large hack packs that contain numerous individual tilesets rather than single tilesets containing combined terrains. For example... there's a lot of city, forest, rural tilesets out there. That's not the kind of thing you're talking about now, is it?
Mostly like the 25-in-1s, RDXs, RTC.
In that case, now that I know what you're talking about, I'll try and give an answer. Now, there's not that much that you actually need to do to make groups of tilesets work together. There are two 2DA files that need some attention. You need to work with load screens, and you need to work with the tileset-specific doors. And once you have those working together, really, you can make any bunch of tilesets work together fine. And that's what most tileset collections do. But the aim with the CTP is not just to make the tilesets work together. It's to upgrade the quality. It's to get rid of the bugs. It's to make sure that the tile sets that we have are of a sufficient quality that they would happily stand beside BioWare tile sets, or maybe even a couple of cases that we would be even more bug-free than BioWare sets. That's really our aim. Because, ultimately, what's very important for world builders in Neverwinter Nights is to be able to have a sense of immersion. You never want your players to be broken out of the story that they're in. So if you go from one area to another, and there's a dramatic decrease in the kind of the quality of the appearance, then that's going to be an immersion breaker. We want to make sure that the quality is consistently high. In addition, we want to make sure that there are, say, more features added, maybe textures are improved. We want to make them prettier, we want to make them work better. That's the aim of our pack, not just to make one big download so that you can have all the tile sets together and, you know, maybe behaving together. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Basically, we want to avoid the sense that it's a downgrade in quality from the standard tile sets. If possible, we would prefer to have an upgrade in quality.
Okay. Well, how many...
The thing with Lord of Worms tile sets, though, I mean, it's partially an artistic feel. You know, if you wander into this eldritch realm from, you know, something very blasé, something very normal, you're always going to feel that kind of sense of what's going on here. So I think that's really more a task for builders to make sure.
How many extra tile sets are there in the current releases that y'all have in the vault right now?
Release 1, as I believe I mentioned earlier, consists of 9 full tile sets and 1 which is a reskin of the BioWare dungeon to give it a little bit more dusty of a feel. The other sets include a different textured... Well, maybe not just a different texture, but a slightly reworked... nicer desert to work on the principle of black sands as opposed to, well, sand.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we have cave ruins, which I think most people have seen in one version or another. It was originally by Never Roofers, and the primary selling factor there is it added roofs to all of the cavern tile set. Let me think. On top of that, we also have Gothic Estates and Gothic Interiors, which are both just gorgeous tile sets.
Oh,
I can't tell you enough how much I love those. but they also have a much more modern feel than pretty much everything else in Neverwinter Nights. They're very Victorian in taste.
Kind of remind me of something for Sembia within the Forgotten Realms.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, I never thought about that, but now that you say it, that does fit.
Yes, it does.
There's also the Dwarven Halls, which was originally by JDA, and it's a beautiful, gorgeous set, but man oh man, that one needed some work. I seem to recall you could shoot through the walls originally with missile weapons. Needless to say, there was a little problem with that.
Oh, I'm sure some gamers are going to love that exploit. Cool.
Well, you see, this is just the thing about bug fixing. There are so many things that a builder won't notice if they're just placing down tiles in the toolset, but it's when you're actually playing through them that's when these things become apparent. And so maybe an awful lot of builders wouldn't realise quite how many things that the CTP have to fix in order to make tile sets fully functional in an in-game way.
Hmm.
So, as the saying goes, give it to 10 real people and you'll get 20 new bugs.
So very true.
So that's all within CTP release 1.
That's true, and there's the elven sets as well. In addition, this brick interior, which I think hasn't gotten nearly as much attention as I would expect. I mean, it's simply gorgeous, and I use that in my own building quite a lot. It's just it's exactly like the BioWare standard interior, but the retexturing is of an extremely high quality. It's very, very pretty. I mean, with the new TNO retexture of the city interior, I think a lot of people, plus this brick interior from the CTP, I'd see a lot of people wouldn't be using the standard BioWare interiors anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are pretty impressive. Okay, so with the other release that you have, can you tell us?
You almost hear the capital letters on that, the other release.
Okay, you got CTP release 1, and you have CTP release 2.
Beta.
Absolutely, as beta can be.
We have to stress that. Beta.
Especially Forest.
I say that, but it's primarily because we know the set files in the tile set. Let me say that a different way. We know the .set file, the extension it ends in, will change when it's finalized. What that means to the builder is when it comes out, when the final is released, anything you made with the previous set file is going to be broken. Flat out, it's not going to work, it's not going to look right, it'll be broken.
So anybody who's built with the Snow Globe tile set, is that the name of it?
White Wizard.
The White Wizard tile set? Yeah, that's...
kind of like Snow Globe, though. That has a certain...
Snow Globe's nice. Actually, I don't know if we have resorted White Wizard mask. We might not need to resort White Wizard, but we've definitely resorted Forest a number of times. So, I mean, I think that most clearly do not build with Forest for the time being. The others might be okay.
I think White Wizard is going to be okay. I believe Banner said that will stay as is. I'm not sure about DLA Sandstone and Forest. Forest is changing. Period.
Right. And there's also the generic doors that you mentioned those. I mean, they're largely themed, so they'll be able to blend in with a lot of our tile sets as it stands, and they use a lot of the textures from our tile sets.
When y'all are gathering these tile sets, do you work with the original artist that created most of these tile sets, or are they all just fair game from the public domain, from the vault that you just, you know, pick and work with?
Oh, well, now, we're not like vault pirates or something. I guess it really... Yarr. I guess it really depends on the individual situation, because... In some cases, I mean, we will always contact or attempt to contact a tile set author. In some cases, when the author is still active, they'll actually want to join us and, you know, make the work, help us out with the bugs from within the CTP. In other cases, they'll say, "Oh, you know, I'm glad to hear that you want to make those improvements or you want to make those changes, but, you know, do them yourselves. I'm not interested. I have other things I want to work on now. In some of the cases, perhaps people won't be active anymore. People might have moved on from the Neverwinter Nights world. And in that case, I think then it might be regarded as okay to build with their stuff. Does that seem fair?
Yes.
Let me sidetrack you then for a minute while you figure out what you're doing. There is a set... Sidetrack-alicious?
Indeed.
There is a set period of time where we won't touch a tile set for. I'm going to tell you it's either 6 months or a year after a tile set is released. It's on its own. We're not going to touch it. This is primarily so authors will get a chance to have their stuff out, standing on its own, getting the limelight, without any fear or any concern that it's going to just get gobbled up by a bigger project. I don't want to make us sound like a giant cube of ooze, but...
Yeah, speak for yourself, ooze master.
Well, you know that does explain a whole lot to me. It does, because, I always wonder, how come you guys just don't, throw this and that and that into there, okay? If it's not the quality of it, because I've seen some really good new stuff out there. But yeah, I can see that, a lot of these artists do deserve a lot of attention from the vault with votes and comments. And I never thought of it that way. But yeah, that is awesome that y'all do that, to give it some time to grow up its some own popularity.
Well, in addition to that, I mean, the tile sets that tend to get mentioned most in the whole, why aren't you using these comments, why haven't you yoinked them, tend to be the work of, say, Lord Rosencrantz or Lord of Worms. But, I mean, they're both currently working on their tile sets.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we need to be developing them, improving them, bug fixing them, when they're already eminently talented community custom content authors working on them as it stands?
Oh, yeah.
It's simply unnecessary.
I've noticed that on a lot of the authors that release these tile sets, that's not in the CTP, a good majority of them have on their details that say that they've learned quite a bit from CTP with their tile set work. So y'all seem to have like quite a good learning process, not only for yourselves, but also with the community as well, it seems.
For example, Lord Rosencrantz used to be on the team, but now, I who am on the team, I'm learning so much from him. So it seems to be a case of churn and turn about,
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's probably pretty true. There's, Lord Rosencrantz is one of the most prolific tile set authors out there that has faded in and out with the team. We kind of pass things back and forth between each other all the time. He helps us, we help him, but he is, quote-unquote, not officially a member at the current point in time. I think that was so that he could concentrate his efforts strictly on his own tile sets and get them out the door, and I have to say I'm kind of glad he did, because he put some pretty amazing work out there, and he's still prolific as far as what tiles and tile sets he's working on. Let's see, there's a couple other guys. One name that you've probably seen is the SO30361, I think it is. I know him as Scott.
Binary Code Lancaster.
Yeah.
Binary, there's like threes and sixes and stuff in there as well.
Yeah, close enough.
Seriously, I can never remember the exact sequence without looking it up.
Yeah, I always get it wrong myself, and I get him confused with another author as well. And I apologize to both of them every time I do it, but it happens almost every time I chat with them. I get the two guys confused.
Has CTP reviewed almost all the Neverwinter Nights 1 tile sets on the vault?
At one point in time, we had over 40 tile sets in our test pack that we were looking at, and those were combination sets as well. In other words, there was lots of individual, say, groups where individual tiles or small sets that were combined into, say, Fireware Rural. We did an awful lot of testing on just about everything that was out there at that point in time. Since then, we've kind of fallen back a little bit. We haven't been necessarily
quite so
involved
active
with every single thing that's come out.
I kind of have. I always keep an eye out on things. So I'll be your watch out terror for these kinds of things. I mean, I have definitely made a survey of all the tiles that's in the vault at least a couple of times. I would only have had to do it once and then periodically update myself if I hadn't kept on forgetting what I'd done the first time round. Thankfully, the vault search features are very forgiving. But yes, I mean, I think it's very important to be aware of what's released on the vault at any given times, and whether it's in the past or at the moment, yeah, the CTP team has definitely taken a look at nearly all the tile sets that are out there. Personally, I don't pay much heed to PW compilation packs, but that's just about it.
Yeah. Is there a large amount of tile sets that still seem unfinished to y'all?
Well, it depends what you mean by unfinished. Because I think that our standards are fairly exacting, but maybe not everybody's are. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah,
maybe some things will be finished.
Bit higher, I think, than most authors accomplish. And not because the authors aren't skilled enough, just because they don't have enough time. Are you still with
arguably,
me?
Arguably, we don't have enough time either.
We try to prevent any bug from making it out into a tile set. Now, we're not 100%. We can't be. Nobody can. But we try really, really hard to eliminate everything that is at least identified to us we knock out. And I think most tile set authors could learn from us, and we could learn from them. There's with the way that we set up our testing environment, it's almost impossible for a bug to slip past us. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, because you're only as good as your own pair of eyes. The more eyes we have, the better off we're going to be as far as identifying and squashing the bugs that are out there. That's one of the things that makes CTP so strong, is that we do have such a really thorough testing environment. Old Man's Beard, I'm sure everyone knows who he is. If they don't, they really should investigate him. His clean models tool set is phenomenal as to what it can do to help eliminate the common errors and the rounding errors that Neverwinter Nights ends up with when you go through NW Max, the tool set, or I should say the tile exporting utilities that are available to us. They have some rounding errors that are kind of annoying over time. The more that you export and then re-import a tile, the greater the errors are going to be. And the Clean Models program from Old Man's Beard just wipes those out. It just cleans them right up.
Let me interrupt here for a minute, if that's all right. But for all you listeners out here, I'm going to pretend you know absolutely nothing, and basically what a rounding error is every time you import-export a tile, you lose a tiny amount in where it's positioned. As a good example, think of it and say, every time you make an exchange, a purchase, any time you do any monetary exchanges throughout the week, you lose 1 cent on the process. Every time you buy lunch, every time you pick up a new shirt, that's about what it comes down to. Every time something is imported and exported in and out again, it's re-rounded, and cumulatively it gets worse.
Very true. One reason why it's good to try and work in scenes rather than just importing, exporting all the time. But for those times when you just absolutely have to import and export again, Clean Models 3 really, really helps with getting rid of those pesky errors.
Awesome. We should end up having a show with about clean models.
You probably could.
It's a phenomenal program. It really is. And it keeps growing. Every time we run into a specific type of issue, Old Man's Beard just jumps on it and comes up with a new feature to add to his program. And currently it's not released to the public yet. It will be shortly. He's added an ability to raise and lower tiles. And if anyone is familiar with TNO, which just came out with the 169 patch, that tile set was raised 5 meters above what was originally considered ground level of zero. The reason they did that was because you could not get a shadow to be cast by the game engine below the zero mark. So if you had a beach where the water level was at zero and you had, you know, the waves going out, you wouldn't get a shadow below that. Or if you had a pit, you wouldn't get a shadow below the zero level. With TNO, they raised the tile set up to allow shadows to be cast below that quote-unquote zero level. So zero is now 5 meters higher, and that when you do that, it affects everything else in the tile. And Clean Models now offers us the ability to raise tiles and protect the walk mesh so that you're walking on sand the way you're supposed to instead of walking up 5 meters in the air. Mm. It does a lot of different things that protect from just a general tile raise. There are other tools out there that will raise a tile, but they tend to skip bits, not just simply because the authors didn't know at the time that certain things needed to be protected. Clean Models takes care of that for us now. And that just happened
last week. I mean, I go away for 1 week and I come back and there's like two new features in Clean Models. I mean, yikes.
So Old Man's Beard is a powerhouse. He's a scripting genius. He also has the OHS henchman system, the Old Man's Beard henchman system, which allows you to add your own henchman to any module out there simply by saving and reloading the module. You get your own abilities there, and that's a pretty phenomenal feature that was added in way back. In fact, that's where I met Old Man's Beard, was with that system, and then I convinced him to help and join us here at CCP and give us some tools to help test with.
Only knew what he was getting into.
I don't think he had a clue. I really don't think he had a clue.
I think no one.
In fact, I think that's true of anybody that joins up with us. They don't really have a clue until they get involved as to how detailed we get into things. Our testing module that we load up on the server, we have tools there that help the testers move around as well as adjust lighting. Like we can turn the sunlight on or off, you know, day or night type thing. We can also fade between dawn and night so that you can see the animations that some tile set authors have created where lights come on. Well, if you're not watching a tile specifically at dawn or dusk, you're going to miss those animations. So you would have to sit there and wait for an hour and a half or 2 hours for the game to cycle through. Well, we have the ability now via scripting tools to automatically adjust for that so that we can set it. It's now dusk, the sun's going to go down, and we can watch the animation proceed just so that we don't miss those little bits. And sometimes, you know, shadows don't work quite as well at night as they do during the daytime, that type of thing. So we go after that. And we have utilities that help us jump around. So if you're standing at the bottom of a cliff and you need to get up to the top to look down to see if there's any errors there, we can now jump around. None of this stuff is phenomenal, but combined, the tool set that we have to test with, it's amazing. It really is amazing.
Well, Banner, I have to say, now, for me, what's phenomenal is the fact that when you make a bug report in the game, it shows up on our bug website. I mean, until Old Man's Beard explained that, I thought that was just science fiction. I thought you all were kidding with me or something.
Yep. Well, Old Man's Beard gave me another tool that he gave me was a set of scripts that I use from inside OpenOffice. I export the areas from the tool set just like you would with anything else, as if, you know, to create an ERF type file. And then his scripts go through and read the area file, grab the tile name off of every single tile in every single area, and export that to a text file. From that, we create a hidden item that stores that tile's name, and we place it back into the area. So that once we join onto the world or the module in game,
the server,
that's what I'm looking for. You'll have to forgive me. Anyway, once we get onto the server, we can click on an individual tile, any tile anywhere in any area, and it gives us the name of that tile and automatically generates the heading information for a bug report, which gives us the location of the tile, what its tile name is, you know, the tile set that it came from and so forth, as well as whatever choice the person that's creating the bug report chose as the bug type. And then they can type in a brief description. Once that's in there, using the Mantis system, which is a great little database system that's free, they can then add screenshots. And so with the specific tile location, the specific tile name, and a screenshot, hopefully, the person that's going to go fix that bug's got an exact image of what the problem is, can easily go fix it. Well, you know, at least go find it. Let's put it that way. So with that system, that was, again, implemented or helped by Old Man's Beard. We can pretty much guarantee that every single tile in a given set is tested and seen at least once in-game. Most times it's a lot more than that. And the more people we get walking through the server to take a look, the more likely we are to catch every single bug that's on a set. Not always can we can't always fix everything depending on the type of bug that it is, but we do a pretty good job with it, I think. Right now we're working on a desert combination. We're going to be calling it Babylon. I think that this stuff's going to pretty much knock the socks off of anybody out there. If you're interested in desert environments, this is going to pretty much cover just about anything you could look for in a desert, at least as far as we can add so far. We're well over 1,300 tiles in the set. Not that tile numbers matter necessarily, because a lot of those are individual groups that you only see once when you paint a specific building down type thing, so they don't really count so much as like a terrain does. When you go to paint a road down, every time you paint that road down across a given terrain, say you're crossing a stream, well, you got to create a tile for that. You have to create a tile that comes up to but does not cross the stream, and then create one that crosses the stream. So you're creating two tiles. And then when you come up against a cliff, do you have a road that ends at the cliff? Do you have one that goes over the cliff? That type of thing. So the tile counts go up very quickly. And that's one thing that I still have trouble with, remembering that I can't just add a single tile anywhere. I end up having to add anywhere from 1 to 17, depending on what I'm trying to add.
So very true.
Well, as you're talking about this Babylon set, I love using sand tile sets, so would you please tell me more about that? I'm pretty sure everybody wants to hear more of that.
Well, Babylon has a lot of very exciting features. You know, we're looking not just at an exemplary desert tile set, but at a brilliant fantasy desert tile set. So we're seeing a lot of, beautiful domes, minarets, a lot of very rich texturing. We're seeing palaces, temples, and some really, really improved terrains as well as features. We want to have the ability to do pretty much anything you want, whether you're going from quarters for perhaps princes or lords to some slums that ordinary folk are living in. Banor, perhaps you'd like to talk about some of the really, really special features that this tile set has?
Well, Babylon started originally as two different tile sets from Pasili. Pasili is no longer with us. He passed away a while back, but he was a major member of the CTP team that did a lot of the combination work for us. But he had two sets that were released on the vault. One was just a desert expansion set for BioWare's original desert, and another was his desert city set, which was, again, based on other authors' work as well. So there's a lot of authors that will be in our documentation that I'm not going to be able to rattle off to you right now. We took those sets and then initially started with the reskin that Astapir created for us to give us a different environment, a different look to the environment. From that point, we've almost completely reskinned the entire set. We've changed the original building terrain that you would see in the BioWare city, where you had all the angled roofs. We flattened those because you don't have angled roofs out in the desert. It's just not that's not what you would see in reality unless, you know, somebody from Europe just couldn't live without his angled roof. So we've done
you
a lot
take
of work
my life.
On...
You'll never take my angled roof.
Yeah. So there's a lot of changes to all the terrains. The buildings, you would be pretty hard-pressed, I think, to even recognize the original shapes on a lot of these buildings now because we've changed the walls, we've changed the roof lines, we've added windows or doors or that type of thing. The reskin work that Estelindis and Dragonessa are doing for us is pretty phenomenal. That these tiles look, just, they really do look amazing. Old Man's Beard is adding some animated windows, which was something that I had mentioned earlier, that with the tile animations between dawn and dusk.
But I mean, this is
actually,
a really dawn dusk animation here. I mean, people are used to the idea of windows going from blue to orange in, say, the standard city exterior. We're talking a whole different league here. Are we allowed to say this? Can we tell them about this?
Sure, we can tell them about it. They won't see it for a while yet.
It's true. We have these gorgeous shutters. Shutters open and close at night. They're not all at the same time. They're linked to, so that some shutters on some tiles open at slightly different times. There's these beautiful trellises. And then there's a kind of an area that's been cut out of the window behind, so that it's a fake room inside the house. And then lights go on and off inside, so that it shows. And those are also timed at different points. So overall, when you're watching, say, sun go down or sun come up, you get the impression of somebody moving through the house, you know, perhaps turning on an oil lamp or turning it off, and then perhaps going up to some shutters and opening them out or closing them. It's simply amazing. It has to be seen to be believed.
Oh, wow. You know what? I just have this feeling that you guys have a whole lot more that you're not wanting to disclose.
Oh, no,
well,
we totally
we're not really hiding a whole lot. If you visit our website at rpgmodding.com, we have a little chat box that sits up at the top that's open to everybody. And you can kind of catch things that are being chatted about in there. We're not really hiding things from people, but we're not necessarily posting screenshots and so forth that everybody can get access to. So it's kind of like we're teasing. So you'll have to forgive us for the teases. But, you know, we need to do a little bit of marketing, too, you know?
Not just that. I mean, it's so fun if you have already seen everything before it comes out. I mean, surely you want to open up the tiles out when it's finally released and see it and say, wow, you know? I mean, what's the point if you're perhaps waiting for a number of months and have no new information when it actually comes into your hands?
I hope when you do release it, that we could have CTP return again to the show for a future podcast.
Ooh, but fun time. Why not?
We could probably do that.
That would be great.
Hopefully I won't have a cold then. Well, sounds vaguely normal. This would appeal to me. Yeah, why not?
Be awesome. Is there anything you would like to say to the community?
Oh, my goodness.
CTP is here. NWN, or Neverwinter Nights 1, still is alive, and it will be for a long time, I think. CTP could always use people that are willing to help. You don't have to be a tile wizard. If you can do a little bit of work on a tile, we could always use your help because it just helps us get our sets out faster. And we almost are always looking for people to help test. Currently, we're working on this desert set. We're almost at a finished stage with it. And we've got other sets that are in the works that I think will also be pretty phenomenal once they get out the door. We're working on a tropical set that's going to expand on what BioWare has just recently released, as well as adding quite a few other features that many people have added over to the tropical environment over time. We've got a nice forest set that's coming. Let's see, you've probably already... hopefully seen our beta release on release 2. There was a white wizard set that's in that will also be released. It's finally got all the bugs squashed. Let's see. Well, I've got some other tile sets that I'm going to keep a little quiet for right now. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry, Estelindis.
That's all right. Did you mention the Mesoamerican set and the Oriental set?
The Oriental set, I'm hoping we're going to get out, but that's going to require some help. I need people. So the more people that are willing to give us a hand, even if it's only, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there, every little bit adds up. So CTP is always recruiting.
But we would always be recruiting, and I would just add that it might sound like it's very tough, but you really do learn as you go along, and it's actually very, very rewarding to pick up some of the skills to be able to make your own fixes. Because, I mean, frankly, some of the things I've learned modelling-wise with CTP have allowed me to make other non-tileset things that I thought I'd never be able to create for Neverwinter Nights custom content-wise. Nothing I've released yet, but that will come. So it helps us because we get stuff put out faster, more book-free. It helps you, so why not? And it's a good laugh.
Good.
When I started with CTP, all I could do was look around. I was a tester. And it took me a little bit of time before I got up the gumption to go digging into GMAX and seeing if I could actually do anything to help fix. And I did it out of frustration because we didn't have enough people that were fixing tiles. So it took me a while. I could only do a little bit. And each month, I would say, I learned a little bit more and a little bit more. And it can be intimidating. But the other side of it is, as Delinda says, it is really rewarding when you looked at a tile in a game and boy, that's lousy. That hole in the wall that shouldn't be there, there's a big wide gap that you can see right through the whole building that shouldn't be there. You just fixed it. And it turned out to be a fairly simple fix. It just took a human to sit down and do it. It's so rewarding when you see that tile working in game, and that hole's gone now. It's a nice wall with a nice brick texture to it, or you know, whatever other texture you've applied, and it just makes you feel better. And you've improved the game. And then when you know somebody else looks at it and says, "Hey, that's nice," you get another little rush, and that's what keeps us going. And then the fact that you know we pass things back and forth between the members and the community as well. They give us ideas, we give them ideas. Sometimes an idea that we thought we might use in one of our tile sets gets used outside of CTP. And the other way around as well. Sometimes an author has created a specific terrain, say a specific tree type or something, but he or she doesn't really have a tile set in mind where to put it. They'll give it to us, and we put it to use. So there's a lot of trade between us and the community. After all, we're part of the community, and we welcome anybody to come in and take a look at what we're doing, give us comments. I mean, I put out questions and votes on the website periodically, asking people what they would like what kind of features they're looking for specifically in a specific set. And we take those into account when we make our decisions on what gets added, what gets cut, what kind of features are set up, and how.
Hey, I have one final question for y'all before we go. How friendly is CTP to work along with other hacks like CEP, CCP, CMP, CPP, and CSP?
The only files that might possibly cause issues are the Edge files, and the area.g.ini files, and these would only be an issue if the other hacks would have tile sets involved. If they don't, there should be no compatibility issues at all, because we
also perhaps load screens and not generic doors, door types, 2DA.
Right, but those... Only things that would be specific for tiles would be an issue. And initially, when CTP first started out, we had a deal with CEP that we would not overstep each other's grounds. And we're sticking to that. We don't touch anything to do with placeables. It kind of hurts to a certain extent because, you know, we could have some really neat placeables to go with some of these tile sets, but we're trying very hard not to step on other groups' works. So hopefully our stuff can be just put right in with whatever other projects you've added. But if you've got anything to do with the tile sets, like the door types, not generic doors as well, the load screens, I think that pretty much covers it.
I believe it does.
As far as what might be a potential combination problem, most of the groups that are releasing content out there, other than tile set authors, would not have an issue with our stuff at all. In fact, when BioWare came out with the plan to release 169, they actually excluded tile set entries from our 10 tile sets from their release so that we would not be overwritten by their new tile sets. So they left our sets alone so that we wouldn't have to worry about overwriting each other. So
furthermore, if I could just interject, there are some informal agreements between tile set authors, for example, say Michael Dark Angel, Lord of Worms, Lord of Rosencrantz, etc., about what lines we use in certain 2DA files so that we make sure that we don't kind of trample on each other's toes. So really, all in all, compatibility isn't too much of an issue.
All right, so it is compatible with the patch 100%, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
CTP1 has been updated for 169, and anything we release from this point forward will be 100% compatible with 169.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on to the show, everybody. Mask, it's delicious. It's delicious.
Score.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
And Banner, thank you very much for coming on to the show, and hope to have you all back again once you end up completing this release, with including the Babylon tile set.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Community's going to have a lot of questions again for you after you release that.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Thanks indeed. We will. Bye-bye.
It really has been a pleasure. I promise I will chase Banner back with a Nerf bat if I have to. We will be on the show again.
Now, there's a show we'd like to see.
And we're back.
Hey, we've got some more money coming in. And I want to thank some people. John McNeil, you know, he just keeps Roannon. You guys know him on the boards as Roannon. Or is it Roannon?
I think it's Roannon.
Or Roannon. Roannon. You know, hey, one of those has to be close. I think it's Roannon. But, John, thank you so much. You continue to support us along those roads. Trey, our own host, has also donated $5. I also donated $5 just recently. But I do want to make sure you guys know that we've made some modifications to the PayPal donate based on your feedback. If you go to the Support Us page on our website, we've got two ways you can support us. One is the one-time donation, which used to be set at $5. Now that's open. If you want to give more or less, you can control the amount that you want to put on there. Then there is the subscriber section, which allows you to do a reoccurring donation of $5 a month for 6 months, and then it automatically expires so that you can renew it if you want to. So it's not one of those you're locked into it and can't turn it off.
A good friend of mine asked me recently how he could donate to the website without using PayPal. And I recommended to him, you know, buy something through Cafe Press.
Very cool. Yeah, I think we've actually had a couple of people buy some stuff, but I don't really know what it is or who.
But yeah, there's some good stuff. Feel free to buy me some things from there too, folks.
Yeah, you know.
Please do the donates to also help us with achieving for the next year's Gen Con 2009, because we would love to go and meet as many people from the Neverwinter Nights community there as well. Maybe I'll be willing to party with y'all.
And think of all the interviews we could get while we were there. That'd be awesome. That's it for this week. Until next time, get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights Podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari,
their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Dun, dun, dun. Seek him here. They seek him there. They seek that banner everywhere.
Is he in heaven, or is he in hell? The damned.
E-I-R. E-I-R.